This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, and I welcome Germanicus. We are in Londinium. It is 90 AD. Domitian is the emperor. This is the first century of the Roman Empire, founded by the divine Augustus, and we live in Londinium, far from Rome. This is the edge of the empire. In Rome, they are involved in the war across the Danube with the Dacians at the same time. They're growing rich. However, we have the authority to look into the future and into the past here in Londinium. It is a city that will exist in the 21st century, and it is at war in the 21st century. So from Londinium, we look to the events of these last days involving Londinium and the United States of America, which we know is an extension of Roman institutions, as the United Kingdom is. And these institutions have stood for 2,000 years. We're fine with them. And one of the institutions is the imperial wish, to conquer, to expand your empire. The NATO forces have come together at Madrid and made a document that is illustrative and revelatory of the next days in the 21st century. I start, however, with a quote from our contemporary, Tacitus, a Roman government worker, sometimes called a senator, sometimes called a governor. However, he became disillusioned with the way Rome was going later in his life and turned into an historian who is still quoted extensively when it comes to imperial conduct. And I begin our conversation of, first, the Russian Federation Empire, and second, the People's Republic of China Empire, both being challenged by NATO in 2022. Germanicus, I read our contemporary Tacitus because he inspires us and also it's fun. A rich enemy excites their cupidity, meaning Rome. A poor one, their lust for power. East and West alike have failed to satisfy them, meaning Rome. They're the only people on earth to whose covetousness both riches and poverty are equally tempting. To robbery, butchery, and rapine, they give the lying name of government. They create a desolation and call it peace. Bravo, Tacitus, well struck. Now, Germanicus, I turn to you about the Russian Federation. This is the charge against Moscow by the Madrid meeting of NATO. This charge, they create a desolation and call it peace. Certainly, Donbass now looks like a desert. So, how do we respond, we Romans, to the fact that Moscow is accusing NATO of being the empire that's going to create a desolation and call it peace? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. It's important to take from our own experience as Romans the pattern of Romanitas in its approach to others. And it may at times, say, toward Greek states that have since taken the knee to join Rome, or more barbarian peoples. Rome always holds out an open hand and yet responds with an iron fist and will stop at nothing until submission is achieved. And what I find so powerful about the NATO document, its strategic concept, quote unquote, is it's not powerful in the sonority and authority of its words, but in representing its approach in the same manner as Rome did. In other words, NATO says the Russian Federation is the most significant and direct threat to allies' security and to the peace and stability in the Euro-Atlantic area. So right there, they are building up an expansive, not merely hostile, not merely competitive, but an aggrandizing, ruthless Russian sort of deep inner predatory quality. And without showing any evidence that Russia is, in fact, going to threaten the peace and stability of the Euro-Atlantic area, and is in fact engaged in a very limited operation within the former Soviet state of Ukraine, and yet it's able to whip that into, by suggestion, by indirection, by inference, the notion that the Russians represent an existential sort of threat to NATO itself. And yet at the same time, in the next paragraph, NATO announces NATO does not seek confrontation and poses no threat to the Russian Federation, even as NATO is directly engaged in a proxy war in Ukraine and in a large and unrelenting and near total economic campaign to bring down the Russian economy and to punish the Russian people. To me, that looks like NATO is at war, and that rather than posing no threat to the Russian Federation, NATO spokesmen, NATO leaders, NATO courtiers have announced every day in a clamorous way that either Putin should be brought down, Russia must be diminished and stripped of its great power status. And there are those, a number of neoconservatives, who are pushing for the so-called decolonization of Russia. In other words, breaking up the Russian Federation into a gaggle, a menagerie of little stands that could be lorded over easily by NATO, and where the U.S. would be the sole arbiter of their daily life. And I find this a fascinating, it's not necessarily a hypocrisy, it's kind of a call for all of us as readers to completely suspend our strategic disbelief. The record is out there, the actions are out there, the intent is everywhere to be seen, and yet the diplomatic language of the document is painting the Russians as the fearsome barbarians.
Let me read from paragraph 8. The Russian Federation is the most significant and direct threat to Allied security and to peace and stability in the Euro-Atlantic area. It seeks to establish spheres of influence and direct control through coercion, subversion, aggression, and annexation. It uses conventional cyber and hybrid means against us and our partners. Its coercive military posture, rhetoric, and proven willingness to use force to pursue its political goals undermine the rules-based international order. In other words, right. while NATO is an existential threat to Russia, economically, militarily, morally, NATO is saying Russia is an existential threat to NATO. These are the words of competing empires, Germanica.
Right. And the problem with NATO's declaration is that it comes after the longstanding a continuous campaign of NATO expansion, which sought to establish spheres of influence and direct control through coercion, subversion, aggression, and annexation. If by annexation we can say quite plainly that Georgia and NATO, Georgia and Ukraine being members of NATO, is a form of annexation into the American empire. So we have been doing all of this, and yet somehow it is Russia that is the threat. It's a very powerful, as you said, demonstration of how empires in competition, and in this case, in a very deep and dangerous competition, seek to shape the language of power and the dispensation of who is in the right to favor themselves, and that they both end up being very much mirror imperiums. And what makes that so fascinating in the case of Russia and U.S. NATO is that there's such a disproportion here, such a status inconsistency. I mean, Russia is showing itself to be no midget, no weakling by any means. And yet in the larger, sum of things, NATO is a gigantic realm. And to create out of Russia the kind of threat that leads to existential measures, indeed dictates and demands them, is a kind of a breathtaking statement, even though it's framed in this colorless, opaque bureaucraties.
Germanicus is observing one part of the NATO aggression towards its opponent. This is imperial language, and imperial language is understood by both sides. Moscow understands what NATO's saying. NATO understands what Moscow's saying. When Moscow talks about incorporating Belarus into the Russian orbit, for example, that would put us right up against the Baltic states and Poland. They understand this. What is fresh here, and when we come back we will discuss it, is that NATO extends its challenge to the Chinese Communist Empire as well. It's not only Euro-Atlantic, it's the Pacific that NATO has its eye on. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor, and Germanicus is Michael Vlahos.